in regards to gospel marriage is point number one, the gospel make marriage meaningful. Let's go to point number two. Point number two is the gospel reveals a greater purpose for marriage. Point number two is trying to say that the gospel reveals there's a bigger purpose or bigger goal in marriage. Okay, and then point number three, the gospel gives us the motivation for godliness in marriage. Again, point number three, the gospel gives us motivation for godliness in marriage. Okay, so we're going to be, but before we look at these three points, I want to remind us, what is the gospel? We can't talk about these applications unless we first understand what the gospel is. Let's turn to Romans chapter 1, verse 16. We need to be reminded, what is the gospel? Romans chapter 1, verse 16. And you can read. Notice here the Apostle Paul says he's not ashamed of the gospel. In fact, he's a messenger of the gospel. He's a preacher of the gospel. Why did he preach the gospel? It's because in verse 16, it's the power of God to save sinners. For all kinds of people. Those who were Greeks, Jews and non-Jews. For everyone. To be saved from God's judgment of hell. No, look at verse 17. It says, "For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith." This verse reveals that in order to be right with God, a gift from God decided to give a gift to us to save us, which is a righteousness. That is Christ's righteousness. And because of this, it says here, our responsibility is we have to have faith. We need to trust in God and Christ. That is how we are saved. Look with me also in Romans 6:23. I love this verse because it's the gospel in one verse. It says, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Because of our sin, we deserve to be judged. But God shows us His love. He gives us a gift. And that gift is eternal life. Through what Jesus Christ has done. Who died for us on the cross. 3 days later, He was resurrected. With a glorified body. And the apostles knew, saw this, and this was true. And the resurrection is proof that God truly has saved sinners from the fate of hell because of Christ. And if we trust in Christ, if we trust in this message, we are saved. That's the gospel. This is the most important thing we need to know. Listen, if you do not know Jesus Christ and you're only here to get marriage help, this is a sad thing. That's like a person that's very sick with illness, just only worried about washing his hands clean. When there's a bigger condition, there's a bigger problem he has. My friends, if anyone here have not trusted in Christ, I hope today you would trust in Him. This is your biggest need of the hour. What is the point of even having a nice, decent marriage if you would go to hell yourself? So make sure you have trusted in Christ as your Lord and Savior. But now that you've trusted in Christ as your Savior, this would change everything in your life. You'll look at marriage in a total different light now because of the gospel. So we now go to our first point. The gospel makes marriage meaningful. I know for us, if you're here today, I think most of us would say marriage is meaningful. But I still want to preach this point. I know now in Nepal there's a lot of people moving different places. Sometimes people from the mountains move down to the city. And sometimes with people with phone and movies, they could see the values from the West. Maybe people today have changed because of the West. Maybe women even dress differently than 20 years ago. Not everything from the West, where I'm from, is good. And one of the big problems from the West that I think influenced the world is the fact that it cheapens marriage. It weakens marriage. There's higher divorce rates in my country. Less people are getting married. There's a promotion of selfishness. And I hope this would not impact the church here in RCN. The gospel makes marriage meaningful. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 32. Yes. Here the Apostle Paul is speaking. Beginning in verse 22, Paul is talking about marriage. He's talking about husband and wives. There's a lot of great truths here. And yet, in speaking about marriage, did you catch what Paul says in verse 32? When Paul looks at the church, husband and wife, he sees more than just correction. When Paul looks at marriage, husband and wife, he sees more than husband and wife. He sees this as an analogy of marriage. Of Christ, the gospel. Just when you think Paul's only talking about husband and wife, notice in verse 32 he says he's talking also about Christ and the church. Now Christ, did he love the church? Yes or no? Yes, right? All God's people say yes, right? Okay. And of course he loves the church, but now he's saying that he to paint a picture of what does the gospel, God's love for the church looks like? He says it's like marriage. Christ is like the husband. And the wife is like the church. You know why husband ought to be sacrificial in the love for the wife? It's because marriage is a picture of the gospel. Christ loves the church and is sacrificial towards the church. My brothers and sisters, we need to see that marriage is meaningful. The Bible uses marriage as an analogy of the gospel. Even before the world began, God has already had a plan to save us through the gospel. Because he's predestined, scripture says. He knows all things. God knows all things. And he's sovereign. He's in control of all things. He could do whatever he wants. And yet God designed marriage. As a picture of the gospel. As a picture of Christ and the church. This makes marriage very meaningful. Marriage is good. When I talked about goodness of singleness, I hope no one gets the idea to think I'm against marriage. Marriage is good is because it's a picture. It is a picture of the gospel, what God has done for us. Let us also turn to Revelation 19. We're going to look at Revelation 19 to still prove our first point that the gospel is meaningful. Oh, the marriage is meaningful. We're going to be looking at Revelation 19, verses 6 to 9.
स्वर जस्तो मैले सुने उर्लद पानीहरूको आवाज र धेरै शक्तिशालीले गर्जनको आवाज जस्तो मैले सुने जसले यस्तो भइरहेको थियो हालेलुया किनकि परम प्रभु हाम्रो परमेश्वर सर्वशक्तिमान राज्य गर्दछ हामी प्रभाव र अत्यन्त खुसी हौ र उहाँलाई महिमा थियो किनकि चुनावका विभागको दिन आएको छ र उहाँकी दुवै स्वयं तयार भएकी छिन्
चकिलो र स्वच्छ भगवानको वस्त्र तिमीलाई थियो पहिला तिमीलाई थियो चकिलो भगवानको वस्त्र सन्तहरूको धार्मिक कार्य हो अनि ती स्वर्गदूतले मलाई भने यो लेख ठुलाको विभाग भोजमा निमन्त्रण पाउने भनेर जन्मिएका हुन् तिनले चाहिँ मलाई भने परमेश्वरको सत्य वचन हो
Notice this is after Christ's second coming to earth. The believers are now in heaven. And there's a big celebration. The believers as a church, all of us will now be the bride of Christ. And Christ will now be the like the husband. The husband. And here it's also, notice, I love how it says, it didn't just say Christ, it says Lamb. Which shows the idea of sacrifice. Again, why should husbands be sacrificial in their love for their wife? Ought to be because Christ is the sacrifice for the church. The gospel makes marriage meaningful. In fact, every human marriage right now is a reflection of the greatest wedding to happen, the greatest wedding of all, Christ and the church. In preparing to come here, I was actually teaching my daughters a lot about, my young daughters, just how marriage is like in different cultures. Yeah, 7, 5, and 3. One of the things I was doing was actually going online to show different cultures and their weddings. And one of the things I show is actually a Nepali wedding. My wife and I were sitting, and the girls, we were just so amazed with Nepali wedding. The woman dressed in red, yes? Or that's the one I saw at least. And we were watching this and all of this, and there's like the flower and burying the husband and wife. There's a lot of flowers, there's a lot of all this. And I was looking at my little daughters, they were like, it looks like they can't wait to have a Nepali wedding themselves. And they started to blush just looking at Nepali weddings. As a father, I was getting really nervous already with them thinking of that. Listen, have you ever been amazed? Why is it in every culture there's weddings? Because marriage is precious, is meaningful, and its ultimate meaning is found in its reflection of the gospel. This is the application from the first truth. Remember, the gospel makes marriage meaningful. If that's the case, this changes our Christian purpose of marriage is different than anything else in the world. If I could have all the brothers and sisters repeat after Sarvajit's translation. I'm going to ask you guys to all say it out loud, the Christian purpose of marriage. The purpose of Christian marriage,
Christian marriage,
is to show the world. The gospel through life and marriage. The purpose of Christian marriage is to show the gospel. To a lost and dying and selfish world, a Christian marriage is to show the gospel. As application, this removes a self-centered reason for marriage. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5:25. If Christian marriage is to reflect the gospel, that changes how husband ought to be. Ephesians 5:25 says, "Husband, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her." If the gospel changes Christian marriage, that means the wives' role should also reflect the gospel. If the whole purpose of marriage is to reflect the gospel, that changes how wives are to be like as well. Let us read verse 22 and 24, and you can read that part. 22 to 24.
पत्नीहरु प्रभुको अधीनमा रहे जस्तै आफ्नो पतिको अधीनमा बस्छ किनकि पति पत्नीको स्त्री हो जसरी ख्रीष्ट मण्डलीको स्त्री हुनुहुन्छ मण्डलीमा शरीर हो र उहाँ स्वयंले त्यो पिताका हुनुहुन्छ जसरी मण्डली ख्रीष्टको अधीनमा छ त्यसै नै पत्नीहरू पनि हरेक कुरामा पतिहरूको अधीनमा रहनु.
For those who are married, I think it is good to ask ourselves honestly, does our marriage reflect the gospel? And for those that are single, I hope it is your desire that if you were to find someone, and if you were to be married, it is to reflect the gospel. Let's go to the second truth. The second truth is the gospel reveals a greater purpose for marriage. I know I already hinted at that, but I want to dwell on this more. Again, point number two is the gospel reveals greater purpose for marriage. Let me ask you guys this question. Why did God save us? You might say it's for He loves us, which is true. But the Bible also says He saves us is for His own glory. Now God's glory is very different than man's glory. When a human being wants to glorify themselves, when a human being wants to glorify themselves, it's often to take advantage of others. But God, in glorifying Himself, saves us. Look with me in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to look first at 11 and 12. Again, verses 11 and 12.
जसले सबै कुरा आफ्नो इच्छाको योजना अनुसार पुरा गर्नुहुन्छ आफ्नो अभिप्राय अनुसार हामी ख्रिस्टमा पहिलेदेखि आफ्ना वाक्यहरूलाई उहाँले आफ्नो महिमाको प्रशंसाको निम्ति दिन सकौँ भनेर उहाँमा नै निम्ति गर्नुभएको छ छान्नुभएको छ.
We see a little details, we see some details with the gospel here. Notice it mentioned predestined in verse 11. The word inheritance is also a really rich word, showing what God has done for us. But notice in verse 12 is all this is done for His glory. Listen, the gospel reveals He saves us for His glory. Look also with me in verse 14. It's also, it says again, it's to the praise of His glory. In saving us, it's for His glory. That's what the gospel reveals. And if we were to say that the gospel is for His glory, when we are saved and we are His people, we live for His glory. That means our marriage is for the glory of God. So marriage is for the glory of God. When we ask a Christian husband, why are you being sacrificially loving your wife? This is his answer. This should be his answer. It's for the glory of God. When a wife is in a difficult marriage, why would she still endure loving her husband? It should be the answer is for the glory of God. This is different than the world's idea of why we should marry. The highest reasons they could go is to have company or to have a companion for the world. Yeah, the highest they could go.
Yeah.
Or for self-happiness. Or to have kids. Or to do things only a husband and wife could do. My brothers and sisters, do you realize how radical, how life-changing it is to be married for the glory of God? As a pastor of young people in the United States, I always tell those who are married and not married, your hardest day and the longest day of your life is still in the future. If you're married, yes, you're most for someone that's newly wed 1 or 2 years, they might be very happy. It might be seems like it's just happiness. But add kids a few years later. After knowing each other's sinfulness, husband and wife. Add in-laws, family, relatives, in-laws, and sin. Our own sinfulness. Illness when we're older. Listen, your longest and toughest days in your life is still future for those that are young, myself included. If you're young, your toughest, longest day is still ahead of you. The reason why you marry is very important for you to stay in that marriage. When you're 10 years into marriage, when the husband and wife don't look the same as before, when there's hundreds of reasons to leave that marriage, there's only one good reason to stay. And that is the glory of God. You stay even when the husband or wife does not change. You stay in that marriage even when the husband or wife does not change. You stay because of the glory of God. Let's now go to truth number 3. The gospel gives us the motivation for godliness in marriage. I also believe in true Christian marriage, Christians do grow. It can get more loving. It could be the it is possible for husband and wife to grow in love in marriage. But it will be hard work. It will be hard work because you're applying the gospel to your life to be changed. Many times we know what is the right thing to do. The hard part is our motivation to do what is right. And this is the beauty of the gospel. The gospel motivates us to do the hard, right things. Let us turn to Ephesians chapter 4. I want to give us some examples let's first begin with Ephesians 4 verse
29.
र परमेश्वरको स्वरूपमा साँचो धार्मिकता र पवित्रतामा सृष्टि भएको नयाँ स्वभावलाई धारण गर.
Here we see that there is a command that we are to speak in a godly manner.
अनि यहाँ चाहिँ हामीलाई आज्ञा गरिएको छ ईश्वरीय स्वभावमा हामीले बोल्नु पर्छ, ईश्वरीय स्वभावलाई हामी धारण गर्नुपर्छ. 29.
So why should we speak in a godly manner?
It's because
of verse
24.
You have been made new.
You
are now a new creation in Christ. Listen, if you trusted in Christ, God has begun giving you a new spiritual heart. While you won't be perfect this side of eternity, yet because you truly are alive spiritually, you will change. So if you have the confidence that you can change, confident not in yourself, but in the power of the gospel. That means for us as men, that changed the way we talk to our wives.
हामी श्रीमानहरू छौँ, पुरुषहरू चाहिँ हाम्रो श्रीमतीसँग कसरी हामी बोली वचन गर्छौँ त्यसले हामीलाई बदलाउँछ.
If you know that, well, God has changed my heart and you can change because of what he's done, that is an incredible confidence in God to be able to do what is right. Okay. If you know that you're a new creation, that gives you confidence to speak lovingly to your wife.
यदि तपाईँ जान्नुहुन्छ कि तपाईँ नयाँ सृष्टि हो, त्यसले चाहिँ तपाईँलाई निर्धक्क बनाउँछ आफ्नो श्रीमतीलाई चाहिँ एकदम राम्रोसँग बोल्न र प्रेमको भावना देखाएर बोल्न तपाईँलाई सहायता दिन्छ. त्यसले निर्धक्क बनाउँछ तपाईँलाई.
I think a lot of marriages are destroyed is because people do not forgive, husband and wives do not forgive one another.
धेरै विवाहहरू चाहिँ एकदम बिग्रेका छन्, उनीहरू सम्बन्ध टुटेका छन्, कारण चाहिँ श्रीमान र श्रीमतीले एकले अर्कालाई चाहिँ क्षमा गर्दैनन्.
A husband or a wife would hold a grudge against the other person. Grudge of bitterness.
श्रीमान र श्रीमतीले एकअर्कामा चितोपन राखेर एकदम मन एकदम कुट्टा कुट्टा बनाएर राखेर बसिरहेका हुन्छ र एकले अर्कालाई क्षमा दिँदैन.
And that bitterness is stored up in the heart. And you keep storing it up, it destroys the marriage. Yet we know we ought to forgive one another. But how do we forgive one another when it's so hard to forgive someone that wronged us? Look, the gospel is our hope. Look with me in verse 32. It says, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you.
जसरी परमेश्वरले क्रिस्तमा तिमीहरूलाई क्षमा गर्नुभयो, त्यसरी नै एउटाले अर्कोलाई क्षमा गरेर तिमीहरू एक अर्काप्रति कोमल मनका र दयालु हो.
Notice we forgive each, others not because of the person, other person is worthy.
यो कुरा याद गरौ, यो कुरा हामीले बुझौ कि हामीले त्यो व्यक्तिलाई क्षमा दिने भने किनभने त्यो व्यक्ति चाहिँ क्षमाको योग्यको भएर होइन.
But we forgive because of God and Christ forgiving us, the gospel.
हामीले क्षमा दिन जरुरी छ किनभने चाहिँ परमेश्वरले क्रिस्तमा हामीलाई क्षमा दिनुभयो, कारण चाहिँ सुसमाचारले गर्दा हामीले उहाँलाई क्षमा दिनुपर्छ.
I believe a Christian marriage, a husband and wife will always be asking for each other's forgiveness and always forgiving one another.
मैले विश्वास गर्छु हाम्रो क्रिस्चियन विवाह, द क्रिस्चियन विवाहमा हामी जीवन बिताइरहेका हुन्छौ भने चाहिँ श्रीमानले श्रीमती, श्रीमतीले श्रीमानसँग एक अर्कोसँग क्षमा मागिरहेको हुन्छ, क्षमा दिइरहेको हुन्छ.
For the last 8 years of my marriage, I've always asked my wife regularly, what are sins in my life, in my our marriage that I need to know about?
अनि चाहिँ विवाह गरेको 8 वर्षसम्म भयो, मैले बारम्बार बेलागरमा सोधिरहन्छु मेरा यस्ता कमजोरी, मेरा पापहरू के छन् विशेष गरिकन विवाहमा, र म उहाँसँग सोधिरहन्छु.
Now the first 3 months the answer is very easy.
केही सुरुको समयहरूमा, पहिला विवाह गरेको सुरुमा 3 महिनामा उत्तर चाहिँ भन्नु एकदम सजिलो हुन्छ.
My wife doesn't say anything.
श्रीमतीले के पनि भन्दैन, राम्रो हुनुहुन्छ तपाईँ, यहाँ राम्रो सुन्दर हुनुहुन्छ, बढिया हुनुहुन्छ, कलकलाउँदो हुनुहुन्छ, राम्रो हुनुहुन्छ.
But 8 years into the marriage is a little different. 8 years into marriage. She tells me. It's painful sometimes. It hurts the pride. It hurts our pride. But we do this to forgive one another and to grow because it's for the glory of God. And from that the joy in the Lord flows, and the joy of our marriage flows from the gospel. My brothers and sisters, the gospel is very, very precious. It saves us from hell for all eternity. And yet it also saves marriage and makes marriage better. Let's close in a word of prayer.